Have you ever watched the news and you've seen a segment where the newscaster reports a missing person? Whether you know the person or not, you feel a degree of anxiety or even hope that this person will someday be found. Some time goes by in relentless pursuit and there is an update. The newscaster reports that this person who has gone missing is now found. Now there's a sigh of relief by you, members of the community, and of course, the family. There's a sigh of relief because human life is restored. Mind you, you may not know the person, and the real question is, why should you care? Why should you care? You care because that individual has value. You see, we live in a world filled with the lost. People who have lost their minds. People who have lost themselves. People who are lost in desperate pursuit of the truth. And people who even lost hope in living. Therefore, the earth filled of the lost is wandering because of lost direction and lost to self. But thankfully, we have a Savior who came to earth to seek and to save the lost so that they are now redeemed and restored. Today, our focus scripture is the parable of the lost sheep. This parable challenges us to examine ourselves. Do we actually impose barriers to bridge the gap between ourselves and the lost? Or do we actually take initiative to welcome the lost so that they can experience the goodness and the love of Jesus Christ? This passage also challenges us to recognize that there's actually hope. There is hope in those who are lost to seek Jesus and those who have strayed away from Christ. Now, as I mentioned before, our focus scripture is the parable of the lost sheep. And immediately, I want to share with you my observations. So Jesus Christ is sitting alongside with the tax collectors and sinners. And the teachers of the law and Pharisees had an issue with that. They muttered and said, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So it appears that the Pharisees had a problem with Jesus sitting alongside with tax collectors and sinners because the Pharisees and teachers of the law viewed these people as despised and unworthy. Unworthy to be associated amongst themselves. You see, there's significance with eating with someone around the table. It shows a sense of fellowship, acceptance, and even recognition. If you can recall the days when you were in school, elementary school, middle school, high school, and even college, that you sat at the table with those that you associate with, your friends. If you can recall, even in middle school and high school, that there was a table for the cool kids, a table for the smart kids, right? And if you weren't a cool kid, and you decided to sit with the cool kids at the table would say, "Yo, what are you doing here?" They will kick you out. And you can see right here that the Pharisees, they were very cliquey. They wouldn't associate and neither wouldn't bridge the gap for those who are in need to stand righteous before God. And guess what? I want to share with you a harsh reality. Some Christians are like that. Some Christians would not take the initiative to welcome those who are sinners and those who have not come to know Jesus Christ at the table to fellowship. See, when we do not bridge the gap, there is a missed opportunity to connect with the lost and to share the gospel. I mean, after all, The Great Commission said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that Jesus have commanded. You see, you simply cannot go out and disciple and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and to teach when you aren't taking initiative to connect with those who are lost. You see, one of the issues with Christians is that we say that, oh, we love the sinner and not the sin, right? And of course, we should not love the sin. But the issue is that when we say we love the sinner, we sort of just love them at a distance. We're like, ooh, we love you, but we don't want to truly fellowship with you. We truly don't want to get to know you. We truly don't want to get to know your life experience. We truly don't want to like share our life experience. Like there is a gap going on. There is a barrier that we have imposed between ourselves and those who are lost. And when we do that, like I mentioned before, there is a missed opportunity to connect, to build that connection. I can share with you even my testimony. I've shared with you several times that I was an atheist. But how did I come to know Christ is through a friendship. A friendship with my roommate. Our friendship was initiated because we enjoyed playing video games. And because we enjoyed playing video games, in particular NBA 2K, we developed this friendship. And now this gap between unbeliever, who was me, and my roommate, who was a believer, this gap is now, there's a bridge. There's a connection. And because there's a connection, he was able to present the gospel to me. And even though it took some considerable time, that connection and friendship was made to the point now that I believe in Christ. Because of that friendship, because that gap was met. And how many of us know somebody who is lost and we're not taking initiative to bridge that gap, to actually share our lives, to share our experience, to actually get to know the person? How many of us know that individual who is lost and we're not bridging that gap? You see, Christ calls us to bridge that gap. How can we go out in all nations? How can we fulfill the Great Commission when we aren't bridging the gap? Jesus has bridged the gap. So therefore, we must bridge the gap as well. So we're moving on. As we reread this parable, Jesus then shares a parable where this shepherd has 100 sheep and he now loses one of them. He now loses one of them. It says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Let's stop right there. So this shepherd is willing to leave the 99 to get that one lost sheep. I want to provide some context to you all. What is a sheep? Well, a sheep is an animal. But a sheep tends to be very gullible, foolish. They tend to wander about. And they are one of the few animals that actually do not have a defense mechanism. So the shepherd is willing to leave the 99 to get that one lost sheep because the shepherd recognizes that one lost sheep has value. Instead of allowing that sheep to perish, that shepherd relentlessly pursues that lost sheep in an open country, meaning that that shepherd is willing to go the very highs and lows to find that one sheep. And that is how we should treat those who are lost. It truly does, because we live in a world where people think that they have the right to call others unworthy, that they have the right to count people off and to cancel them because of the mistakes that they have done and the poor decisions that they have made. But as Christians, we should never count out people because of their decisions. We are in the redemption and restoration business for the kingdom of God. So when we look at those who are lost and who have not come to know Christ, and even those who have strayed away from Christ, that we cannot count them out. That there is hope that this shepherd, the great shepherd in Jesus Christ, will find, relentlessly pursue that lost sheep and find it. Because that sheep has value. And if our Lord and Savior views that sheep as someone with value, we should view the lost as individuals with value. You see, the shepherd then finds the sheep, that one smelly, lost sheep. And instead of punishing the sheep, the shepherd swoops up the sheep, carries it on his shoulders, and celebrates. So this is the Father's attitude of finding the lost sheep, is that he is willing to go highs and lows. And when he finds the sheep, he carries it. He swoops it up on his shoulders and celebrates over that one sheep. It truly goes to show that that shepherd cares. He cares. And just like we have this sigh of relief of this missing person that's reported in the news, we should not only have that sigh of relief that this person who was lost is now found, that we should celebrate and rejoice because there's hope. There is hope in that person who is lost, who is battling with addiction, who subscribe to a different religious views, to those who don't believe in God, to those who are part of the LGBT community. There is hope that these individuals who are living a life in sin, living a life that doesn't align with the will of God, that one day that they will be restored and saved, and that they too will join the flock as brothers and sisters in Christ. There is hope in restoration. So we must recognize that Jesus values everybody. This passage challenges us to see that there is hope in those who strayed away from Christ and those who have not come to know Christ. There is hope that the Father will swoop the lost into his arms, and therefore they will join us as brothers and sisters in Christ. So therefore, we cannot impose barriers. We cannot be hopeless believers and say that this person will never be saved because of his or her views of Christianity. I've shared with you that I was an atheist, and I believed, and I held on to this idea that Christianity was a white man's religion. And I even said to myself that I would never, never believe in Christianity. But through the development of a friendship, my roommates, we're still great friends to this day. And it took time. But it was that moment when he constantly provided opportunities to fellowship. He bridged the gap. So while you may feel frustrated, hopeless, that the lost may not be able to be saved and come to know Christ, my encouragement to you is is to have hope. Because for the God who came and swooped you up, he can swoop that individual up too. To God be the glory.